The Holy Gospel according to St. John, 20th chapter. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered, "My Lord, my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that he may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, that through believing you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of our Lord. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Love to say that. Here we are with the Easter behind us. And saying the type of things like that kind of go away as we go through the Easter season of the church year. I'm sure many of you travel to see your family or friends, and that's wonderful. 40 days means Lent for Christians everywhere. Much of Lent is a time of reflection, repentance, and sacrifice. Lent gives you 40 days. Or it could give you 960 hours, or maybe 57,600 minutes. Did you count them? I'm not sure I did. The 40 days, I know. That time can change our life with the discipline needed to make it work, but I've never looked at Lent that way. As I mentioned, Lent gives us plenty of time, whether the counting the days or hours and minutes, to reflect on the opportunity to do something we haven't done for a very long time, or stop doing something we should have stopped a long time ago. Or in other words, just be a better person. To create the discipline that many people need during Lent, they surrender something like giving up chocolate or some goppy food, smoking or being argumentative. Even though sacrificing isn't a required action during this time, those who choose to do it, it creates a time to focus on our faith rather than material or luxury things. Those who choose to do something that they feel they need to change in their lives, they make a promise to uphold whatever they accept to do during the Lenten season. The Lent journey can be about us, but primarily, it's about Jesus. This time that we struggle with our actions or how we interact with others, Lent is about building more discipline in how we live our life. But it's more about building our faith stronger and making our relationship with the Lord stronger. It can be one of the most important times in our lives. Do you ever create a Lenten promise? I bet you have. How good were you to have the discipline to keep the promise? Was it really a promise? Or just something you did because it was just trendy to do it? Now that Lent is over, what are you going to do? How about trying to make your faith stronger? That's a good idea. You don't have to make a promise with that. Just make your faith stronger. At the start of Lent on Ash Wednesday, we know that what Jesus' fate will be and how it would happen, since we have been through this before and know the outcome. Throughout his ministry, Jesus would drop hints to his disciples about what will happen to him. The uncertainties of his disciples knowing what exactly will happen to Jesus shows up in many of their conversations together. Near the end of Jesus' life, disciples knew what would happen, but always had the uncertainty of exactly how and when it would occur. It could be about the way Jesus described his ultimate fate. Disciples constantly pushed Jesus to get an answer from him on what would happen to him and when. From the beginning, they knew when Jesus said something, Jesus would come through and do it and get it done. Over time, Jesus would reach out to his disciples more and more. But he always was testing them on how much their faith has grown and how strong it was. After all, Jesus was working toward building his new church around his disciples. But disciples were always trying to put their own spin on whatever Jesus told them and tried to have them do. Disciples didn't know what to do since they only knew that Jesus would lead them. In this first meeting after Jesus' crucifixion, Mary Magdalene came to the disciples saying she had seen him alive. Mary Magdalene? If I could pause here, I believe Mary Magdalene's role in Scripture was never totally explained, other than she was very close to Mary, Jesus' mother, and obviously close to Jesus, that she was the first one to see him alive after his crucifixion. In the disciples' preparation for their first meeting with the Christ, their fear caused them to lock the doors of the house where they were gathering because they were afraid of the Jews coming for them. The gospel story talks of their fear and little of their hopefulness. Their hope grew and were manifested later when many of them became preaching through Judea and Asia Minor, which was much of the civilized world at the time. The scripture doesn't say who was there, but only infers that all the disciples met in a locked house due to their fear of being attacked by other Jews. It seems that all of the disciples met there as a group to protect each other and hoping to see Jesus for the first time after his crucifixion. Jesus' story is a story about eternal hope with Jesus and disciples at the center. Remember how I talked how long Lent was? Let me talk about keeping the momentum on the promises we make during Lent. The best way to continue the promises of Lent is to work on our faith. A person's faith is a legacy everyone can give to their friends and family. Their faith in your life is the like fertilizer you use to grow and make plants beautiful. Trying to make a post-Easter promise, that could go a long way. Try growing your faith in life so everyone can see the glory of God through what you do to share in your life. Make a promise so it lasts all year long, not just Lent, and those who you know and love. Use your faith in the risen Christ and push away your fears that affects us each day of our lives, and especially now around the world. Only God's love can make us stronger to carry the message of Jesus' love to those who need it the most. Use God's love day by day to find ways to make it part of your life and use God's love in everything you do. So make a new Lenten promise not just to you, but to God. The events of our lives can make us afraid every day. But like the disciples who were afraid of what might happen to them following the crucifixion, their faith in the Lord took over and guided them throughout their lives. They left the locked house to take the good news message of the risen Christ to a world in need. We certainly need it now. Let that be yours as well. Make a promise to God by using the discipline of your faith to come closer to the Lord in everything you do in life. So let your faith be like the fertilizer of your life to grow your love of God, and you can pass all of good news to everyone you touch. Amen.